Sutra. Moreover, Shariputra, this land of ultimate bliss has pools of the seven jewels, filled with the waters of eight meritorious virtues. The bottom of each pool is pure, spread over with golden sand. On the four sides are stairs of gold, silver, lapis lazuli, and crystal. Above are raised pavilions adorned with gold, silver, lapis lazuli, crystal, mother of pearl, red pearls, and carnelian. In the pools are lotuses as large as carriage wheels, green colored of green light, yellow colored of yellow light, red colored of red light, white colored of white light, subtly, wonderfully fragrant and pure. Shariputra, the realization of the land of ultimate bliss is thus meritoriously adorned. Commentary. The previous passage of text described the exquisite beauty of the land of ultimate bliss. This passage praises the subtle wonder of its water pools. Having spoken of the seven rows of trees, the seven layers of netting, and the seven tiers of railing, Shakyamuni Buddha was waiting for Shariputra to ask further about that land. But the great, wise Shariputra, the Buddha's most intelligent disciple, still did not know where to begin and probably hesitated for several minutes until the Buddha himself said, "Moreover, Shariputra, this land of ultimate bliss has pools of the seven jewels." There are pools in the Saha world, but they are made of mud or cement. No one makes pools out of gold, silver, lapis lazuli, crystal, mother of pearl, red pearls, or carnelian. Lapis lazuli is an opaque, blue, semi-precious stone. It could be found near the country of Magadha in central India. Crystal is also called water jade. Mother of pearl has what looks like cart tracks running across it. Translated from the Chinese, it is great shells. The pools were not man-made. On the contrary, they appeared naturally. Within the pools, one finds the waters of eight meritorious virtues. 1. Tepid. It is warm, and yet it is cool. In other words, once you get in the pool, if you want it a little warmer, it becomes so. If you think, "It is too hot, a little cooler, please," then it becomes cooler. The quality of the water is inconceivable. 2. Pure. No matter how many times you wash with this water, it doesn't get dirty. Unlike the water in our world, the more you wash with the water of the land of ultimate bliss, the cleaner it gets. It feels like milk running over your body, smooth, comfortable, and extremely fine and subtle to the touch. The more you wash with it, the nicer you feel. There is no better feeling than this. 3. Sweet. You don't have to drink it. Just wash with it, and you will know that it is very, very sweet. Once in Hong Kong, my disciple, Se Guoman, came to Guanyin Cave where I was living and ate noodles and drank water from my pool. Then she said, "Ah, this water is so sweet. Does it have sugar in it?" No, I replied, it's just plain water. But it is so sweet, she said. Perhaps Guanyin Bodhisattva has given you some sweet dew, I said. Oh, she exclaimed and was really delighted. At that time, I was wearing rags and you could see my flesh through the holes in them. What do you think she did? She made me two sets of clothes because she liked the sweet water. The water in the land of ultimate bliss is also sweet and delicious. 4. Soft. The water is not hard. It is very light and soft. 5. Moistening. When dirty people wash with it, they become clean. This water will wash away any filth right off your body and leave you bright and clean. 6. Harmonizing. If you wash with this water, your heart and mind will be at peace without the slightest trace of bad temper. Without a hot temper, without the fire of ignorance, and without afflictions, you will be in harmony with everyone. If they scold you, you won't get angry. And if they knock you over, it won't create a problem. So what if they hit me? You will say. You will be at peace with everyone. See how fine this is? 7. Banishes hunger and thirst. This is most important. After bathing in the waters of 8 meritorious virtues, when it's time to eat, you are not hungry. And when it is time to drink, you are not thirsty. No milk and no bread, and yet no hunger or thirst. The land of ultimate bliss is unspeakably wonderful. 8. Nourishes all roots. It gives sustenance to all your sense organs. Your eyes become bright and light, and your ears, if once deaf, now can hear. If your nose is stopped up, wash with the water of 8 meritorious virtues, and it will get to work again. Whatever you eat tastes good, and your hands and feet work without feeling tired. Not only that, the water also nourishes your good roots and gets rid of your bad karma. How great would you say this merit and virtue is? We should quickly seek rebirth in the land of ultimate bliss so that we may bathe in the pools of the waters of 8 meritorious virtues and have our good roots nourished. This has been a general explanation of the waters of 8 meritorious virtues. Were I to speak in detail, I wouldn't finish by the end of a great eon. These waters have 8 independent merits and virtues, 8 happy merits and virtues, 8 subtle, wonderful, inconceivable merits and virtues, and more. No matter what karmic obstacles you have, they all dissolve when you get into these pools. What are karmic obstacles? They are those things which you dislike, the things which cause you to become afflicted. Without karmic obstacles, there are no afflictions, and this is like a covering of golden sand. When we go to the land of ultimate bliss, the pools of the 7 jewels melt away our karmic obstacles. On the 4 sides are stairs of gold, silver, lapis lazuli, and crystal. We may think our stairways of marble are splendid, but those in the land of ultimate bliss are all inlaid with gold, silver, lapis lazuli, and crystal. and the pathways emit multicolored rays of light. Above are raised pavilions adorned with gold, silver, lapis lazuli, crystal, mother of pearl, red pearls, and carnelian. Why are they adorned with so many treasures? To make them beautiful to look at. The seven jewels used to adorn the pavilions represent the perfection of Amitabha Buddha's 10,000 virtues. The great adornments are the measure of his great virtuous practices, for without virtuous practices, there can be no seven-jeweled adornments. In the pools are lotuses as large as carriage wheels. Then how big are the pools? Each is as big as 100 great seas. One great sea is big indeed. How big would you say 100 great seas are? The lotuses in these pools are as large as carriage wheels, which are much bigger than automobile tires. The carriage wheels on the chariot of a wheel-turning sage king are one yojana in diameter. A small yojana is 40 miles. A middle-sized one is 60 miles, and a large one is 80 miles. This lotus, then, is 80 miles in diameter. Lotuses growing in pools as large as 100 great seas would have to be at least that big. Tiny flowers in such big pools wouldn't look right. A song about Amitabha Buddha goes like this. Amita, the great sage and master, serene, subtle, wonderful beyond all others. Pools of seven gems, flowers of four colors, and waves of solid gold. Amitabha Buddha is the great sage and master. His countenance is sedate, serene, and very wonderful. There is no image as fine as that of Amitabha Buddha. The flowers in the pools are green-colored of green light, yellow-colored of yellow light, red-colored of red light, white-colored of white light, light, bright light, subtly, wonderfully, fragrant and pure. The water is subtle and soft. It looks like water, but when you reach out to touch it, it feels as if nothing were there. It feels like water, but it is so fine that you can't grab a hold of it. It is like there's nothing there, but still, it is there. It's just that subtle. Wonderful means ineffable. There is no way you can even think about it. The water is also fragrant. Once you get in it, you won't want to get out. As soon as you smell its fragrance, you will bring forth the Bodhi mind. In this world, we chase after good smells, but in the land of ultimate bliss, the fragrances cause one to say, "Too fine! I better hurry up and cultivate the way." The smells of this world cause you to think, "Not bad. It is really bitter at the temple. Cultivation isn't as good as." But smells are defiled dharmas. Forms, sounds, smells, tastes, and tangible objects are the five sense objects, and cultivators of the way must certainly see through and break all attachments to them. First of all, do not become attached to beautiful forms. Beauty is only skin deep. Beneath the skin there is just pus, blood, and flesh. In the Sharangama Sutra, we read of Matangi's daughter who couldn't give up her love for Ananda. The Buddha asked her, "What is it about Ananda that you love?" "I love his eyes," she said. "All right," said the Buddha, "I will pluck out his eyes and you may have them." "Oh no," she said, "if you do that, they won't be of any use." "If they are of no use, then what are you doing loving them?" asked Shakyamuni Buddha. Hearing this, she immediately certified to the fruit of arhatship. So you should not become attached to forms. In order to cultivate, you should borrow forms and sounds and yet not become attached to them. Don't say, "Oh, this music is so beautiful. When I hear it, I get all confused and don't know what I'm doing." If you must sing, sing in praise of Amitabha Buddha. Don't become attached to smells either. When I was in Hong Kong, people used to follow me around. They said I smelled good. I really disliked this, and so I put some smelly stuff on myself to keep them away. Everything is made from the mind alone. If you have samadhi power, then fragrances aren't fragrant, and bad smells don't stink. Good sounds aren't good sounds, and bad sounds aren't bad. Beauty isn't beautiful, and ugliness isn't ugly. Samadhi power is the skill one derives from cultivation. If you have this skill, when people are good to you, you are not happy, and when they are bad, you don't become afflicted. With samadhi power, you won't listen to the speech of your tongue when it says to you, "Taste this and see if it tastes better than." I often tell you that when I eat, I don't know if the food is good or not. It is not that I don't know. If I didn't know, I would be like wood or stone. I am just not affected by the taste. I eat the same amount, whether it tastes good or not, without discrimination. In this way, greed for the objects of touch indicates a lack of samadhi power and shows that one has been turned by external states. The lotuses of four colors in the land of ultimate bliss shine with four colors of light, which represent the four applications of mindfulness, the four right efforts, and the four bases of supernatural power. In reciting and studying the Amitabha Sutra, we should cultivate samadhi power. If you have samadhi power, then the land of ultimate bliss is right here. If you don't, even if you went to the land of ultimate bliss, you would run right off to the land of ultimate misery. With samadhi power, the land of ultimate misery is the land of ultimate bliss. Without affliction, you can say, "Everything is okay." If that is not the land of ultimate bliss, what is? Sutra. Moreover, Shariputra, in that Buddha land there is always heavenly music, and the ground is yellow gold. In the six periods of the day and night, a heavenly rain of Mandarava flowers falls, and throughout the clear morning, each living being of that land, with sacks full of the myriads of wonderful flowers, make offerings to the hundreds of thousands of millions of Buddhas of the other directions. At mealtime, they return to their own country, and having eaten, they stroll around. Shariputra, The realization of the land of ultimate bliss is thus meritoriously adorned. Commentary. Shakyamuni Buddha told Shariputra, "In Amitabha's country, the gods play music all day and all night, throughout the six periods. The beginning of the day, the middle of the day, the end of the day, the beginning of the night, the middle of the night, and the end of the night." Mandarava, a Sanskrit word, may be interpreted as "according to your wish" or "white flower." However you would like them to be, that's the way these flowers are. At dawn, when the sun is just rising, the living beings of this land, with sacks full of the myriads of wonderful flowers, make offerings to the hundreds of thousands of millions of Buddhas of the other directions. How long does it take? Not long, just the time it takes to eat a meal, half an hour or so. These living beings can travel to billions of Buddha lands in a very short space of time because they have obtained the eight great freedoms of the self. They are free and independent, and everything accords with their wishes. Having obtained the as-you-will spiritual penetration, if they want to go somewhere, they arrive there immediately. When we bow to the Buddha, we should envision our bodies filling the limitless Buddha lands of the ten directions, personally bowing to all the Buddhas. If you can contemplate the Dharma realm in this way, then your body is as big as the Dharma realm. The Avatamsaka Sutra says, "If one wishes to understand completely the Buddhas of the three periods of time, one should contemplate the nature of the Dharma realm. Everything is made from the mind alone." At mealtime, they return to the land of ultimate bliss, and, having eaten, they go for a walk. Sutra. Moreover, Shariputra, in this country there are always rare and wonderful varied colored birds, white cranes, peacocks, parrots, and egrets, kalavinkas, and two-headed birds. In the six periods of the day and night, the flocks of birds sing forth harmonious and elegant sounds. Their clear and joyful sounds proclaim the five roots, the five powers, the seven Bodhi shares, the eight sagely way shares, and dharmas such as these. When living beings of this land hear these sounds, they are altogether mindful of the Buddha, mindful of the Dharma, and mindful of the Sangha. Commentary. Since Shariputra still had no questions, Shakyamuni Buddha said, "I will tell you a little more, Shariputra. In the land of ultimate bliss, there are many kinds of multicolored birds. They are most unusual and beautiful. White cranes are found in our world, too. Peacocks are especially beautiful. Parrots can talk. They may see you and say, 'Hello.' Some Chinese parrots say, 'A guest is coming, a guest is coming.' Some people even teach their parrots to recite the Buddha's name so that they can be born in the land of ultimate bliss. Egrets are the kind of bird after which Shariputra's mother was named. They are also very beautiful. Kalavinka is a Sanskrit word which means good-sounding bird. Before it has even hatched from its egg, it sings more melodiously than any other bird. Two-headed birds have two heads on one body. Have you ever seen such a bird? Living beings are born this way as karmic retribution for too much sexual activity. Because the husband's and wife's sexual desire was so heavy that they indulged in intercourse day and night, they fell and turned into a bird body with two heads. They have different consciousnesses but the same karmic retribution. So be careful. If your sexual desire is too intense, you may become a two-headed bird. Someone says, I would like very much to become one of those birds. People would watch over me and feed me and take care of me. Perhaps, but the birds are animals just the same, and when their lives are over, they fall into the hells. It is dangerous. Don't think that being a bird is a lot of fun, even though they can fly when they want to fly and perch when they want to perch. A bird's retribution is incredible. Its wisdom decreases life after life. But if you have wisdom, you won't fall. In the six periods of the day and night, these birds sing forth harmonious and elegant sounds. Like a choir, very fine music. The birds in the land of ultimate bliss are not born as a result of their karmic offenses. They are manifestations of Amitabha Buddha's merit and virtue. In the land of ultimate bliss, the three evil ways of rebirth do not exist. If there are no animals, you may ask, then where did all the birds come from? They are manifestations of Amitabha Buddha's merit and virtue, and their songs are Dharma sounds, which help him speak the Dharma. Their clear and joyful sounds sound good to everyone. Everyone who hears them becomes happy because the sounds penetrate right into the heart. What is heard in the clear and joyful sounds? The sounds of the birds are the sounds of Dharma. The five roots. 1. The root of faith. 2. The root of vigor. 3. The root of mindfulness. 4. The root of samadhi. 5. The root of wisdom. The five roots germinate Bodhi seeds and cause your Bodhi heart to grow until it fully matures into the five powers. 1. The power of faith. 2. The power of vigor. 3. The power of mindfulness. 4. The power of samadhi. 5. The power of wisdom. The seven Bodhi shares, also called the seven limbs of enlightenment, are 1. Selecting a dharma. 2. Vigorously cultivating it. 3. Joy derived from cultivation. 4. Casting out coarse delusions. 5. Renouncing subtle delusions. 6. Samadhi. 7. Mindfulness. These seven are very important, and all Buddhist disciples should know them. The eight sagely way shares, also known as the proper Eightfold Path, are 1. Proper views. This refers to your manner of regarding something, your mental outlook and your opinions, not to what you view with your eyes. You practice the non-outflow conduct in contemplating yourself. Your own views and understanding must be proper. But you may also explain proper views as the view you see with your eyes, that is, you may view what is proper, but not what is improper. Improper means deviant, as when people see something that causes them to give rise to deviant thoughts. The view is one's vision of external manifestations. For example, if a bhikshu sees an improper person, he should not continue to look at him. If he looks, that is called an improper view. The Shramanera precepts say, don't sing or dance, use popular instruments, or attend or listen to such events. Improper thoughts are also improper views. But if you can see without seeing, although it is improper, you don't think of it as such. You may then be said to have proper views. 2. Proper thought. Internally, where people cannot see, you use non-outflow wisdom. It is most important to be without outflows. I have explained this many times, but it seems that the more I explain it, the more outflows you have. Outflows flow out. You have a tiny bit of water of wisdom, but you let it flow right out and use instead the fire of ignorance. There is nothing more wonderful in heaven and earth than the Dharma door of no outflows, and yet you still take no notice of it. Even if Shakyamuni Buddha himself appeared, if you had outflows, he couldn't take you across. To be without outflows, you must be free from improper knowledge, be without improper views, and have no sexual desire. If you have sexual desire, you have outflows. With no sexual desire, you have no outflows. Just this is proper thought. If you have desire, you have outflows. If you have no desire, you have no outflows. Proper thoughts belong to the mind. Do not give rise to evil thoughts in the mind. 3. Proper speech. With proper speech, what you say is not the slightest bit off color. Your speech is completely correct. If someone speaks improperly to you, you should think of it as proper. This is pure mouth karma. Worldly men are of many kinds, and when they speak improperly, do not criticize them, saying, "Ah, he is speaking incorrectly." On the other hand, be careful not to get too close to such people either. Proper thought is pure mind karma, and proper speech is pure mouth karma. 4. Proper action. Proper action refers to pure bodily karma. Use non-outflow wisdom to discard improper bodily karma, specifically sexual desire. I can't make it too clear. I can't say it too frankly. Many people say, "Oh well, emptiness is form and form is emptiness," and they casually play around. This is improper action. When you use non-outflow wisdom, your behavior is never improper. People with improper wisdom are not intelligent enough to behave properly, but they can do evil things. Things involving men and women miraculously well, better than anyone else. Proper action is purity of the body. Proper action, proper speech, and proper thought mean purity of the karmas of body, mouth, and mind. 5. Proper livelihood. Proper livelihood refers to any livelihood which does not fall within the five kinds of improper livelihood. A. Manifesting a strange style. Look at me, says the great vehicle monk dressed in small vehicle robes. I am special. You should make offerings to me. He is special, say the blind followers. He is probably a Buddha or a Bodhisattva, taking the gaudy rickrack for a treasure. B. Speaking of your own merit and virtue. Do you know me? I have done many good deeds. I put a whole lot of money into building that bridge over there, and people walk back and forth on it because of my merit and virtue. I built a home for the aged, and a school, and I established scholarships as well. I built a temple where I supported several hundred Dharma masters, and I am acting as their Dharma protector. The merit and virtue is mine, all mine. They can get away with telling such stories to stupid people, but people with wisdom don't even have to hear what they are saying. They can tell by looking at them that they are just telling stories. C. Fortune telling. People consult an oracle. You should give me $1,000,000, he says, and do good deeds. If you don't, you will die tomorrow. $1,000,000 isn't too much to pay for my life, the victim thinks, and so he gives. And the next day, he doesn't die. Of course, he wouldn't have died anyway, but still he believes that he might have. Tomorrow, says the fortune teller, a very lucky thing will happen if you do a good deed today. Give 50 pounds of gold today, and tomorrow you will get 500. 10 to 1 is not a bad ratio, the man says, handing him 50 pounds of gold. But the next day there is no gold, and he can't find the fortune teller either. And I thought I had met an immortal, he says. D. Shouting and bragging. When it isn't necessary, why shout? A certain Dharma master used to startle people by bellowing at them. People were impressed even though they had no idea what he was saying. His voice was very resonant, but what is the point of yelling? With many people present, you can speak a little louder, otherwise you shouldn't yell. Why does a Dharma master shout? He doesn't know that it is one of the five improper means of livelihood. E. Speaking of your own offerings. I had the best lunch at layman so-and-so's house, he says, reciting the lunch mantra. I had white fungus, mushrooms. Another layman hears the mantra and can't take it. I had better borrow $100 and offer some vegetables to the Dharma master. He doesn't know that the Dharma master has transgressed the boundaries of proper livelihood by reciting the lunch mantra to move the layman's mind and obtain good offerings. 6. Proper vigor. This means bowing to the Buddha, reciting the Buddha's name from morning to night without resting. Strangely enough, if you go to chat with someone, the more you chat, the more energy you have. Talking, talking, too much talking. But of what use is all your vigorous talking? It is improper vigor. Proper vigor means doing that which is beneficial. Improper vigor involves doing that which is not beneficial, such as being lazy with respect to the Buddha Dharma, but chanting more vigorously than anyone else. A person with proper vigor comes to listen to the sutras when they are being lectured, no matter how busy he is. One with improper vigor doesn't come, even though he has nothing else to do. Going to the movies, going sightseeing, going everywhere but to the temple to listen to sutras is called improper vigor. Hunting for the best place to go gambling is also improper vigor. 7. Proper samadhi. Samadhi, a Sanskrit word, means right reception or right concentration. Use non-outflow wisdom to cultivate samadhi, and no improper states will move you. If you could remember even one sentence of the sutras I have explained to you, then when the time comes you could use it. But you forget, and so you meet the state, are turned by it, and run after it. This is because you have no proper concentration, no proper samadhi. I know, you say. I know I don't have proper samadhi. If you know you don't have it, then why don't you find a way to obtain it? People, if you tell them that they have made a mistake, they say, I know. If they know, why do they make such mistakes? 8. Proper mindfulness. Be mindful of non-outflow wisdom. Do not have outflows. No matter what, don't indulge in the slightest sexual desire. Having no sexual desire is proper mindfulness. Any thoughts of sexual desire is improper mindfulness. Someone once said, "That person is attracted to me. I can tell by the look in his eyes." If you didn't have sexual desire yourself, you wouldn't be looking into his eyes in the first place. Just what kinds of thoughts are you having when you look into his eyes? If you didn't have sexual desire, you wouldn't know that he did. If you were clear, pure, spotless and undefiled, how would you detect his desire? Speak up. If you know that others have desire, then you have it too. And not having cut it off, your mindfulness is improper. You may explain these 8 sagely way shares any way you wish, as long as it is with principle. However, you can't just open your mouth and not know what to say. In explaining the Dharma, you must speak correctly and not deviate from the principle in the least bit. And Dharmas such as these refers to the 4 applications of mindfulness, the 5 roots, the 5 powers, the 7 Bodhi shares, the 8 sagely way shares, the 4 right efforts, and the 4 bases of supernatural power. 37 in all. The 37 wings of enlightenment. The 4 right efforts are 1. Putting an end to evil, which already exists. 2. Preventing evil that has not yet arisen from arising. 3. Bringing goodness which does not yet exist into existence. 4. Developing the goodness which already exists. The 4 bases of supernatural powers are 1. Zeal. 2. Vigor. 3. Mindfulness. 4. Thought. Sutra. Shariputra, do not say that these birds are born as retribution for their karmic offenses. For what reason? In this Buddha land, there are no three evil ways of rebirth. Shariputra, in this Buddha land, not even the names of the three evil ways exist, how much the less their actuality. Desiring that the Dharma sound be widely proclaimed, Amitabha Buddha, by transformation, made this multitude of birds. Commentary. Do not say that these birds came from one of the three evil realms. Why? In the land of ultimate bliss, there are not even the names of the hells, the realm of animals, or the realm of hungry ghosts. How much the less could such creatures actually exist? Then where did the birds come from? Wishing to spread the Dharma sound far and wide, with his vow power, Amitabha created the Kalavinkas and all the other birds in order to help him. They came from his spiritual penetrations and transformations, not from the three evil paths. Unlike the birds in this world, which are born into the realm of animals, they are transformations from the power within Amitabha Buddha's Dharma. Sutra. Shariputra. In that Buddha land, when the soft wind blows, the rows of jeweled trees and jeweled nets give forth subtle and wonderful sounds, like 100,000 kinds of music played at the same time. All those who hear these sounds naturally bring forth in their hearts mindfulness of the Buddha, mindfulness of the Dharma, and mindfulness of the Sangha. Shariputra, the realization of the land of ultimate bliss, is thus meritoriously adorned. Commentary. Shariputra, said Shakyamuni Buddha, I'll tell you how it is in the land of ultimate bliss. A gentle breeze blows through small bells hanging from the seven layers of netting on the seven rows of trees. Their sounds help us to recollect the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and are like 100,000 kinds of subtle music playing harmoniously all at once. Those who hear these sounds have no defiled thoughts, but instead naturally recite, Namo Amitabha Buddha, Namo Amitabha Dharma, Namo Amitabha Sangha. You ask, Namo Amitabha Buddha, perhaps, but how can they recite Namo Amitabha Dharma? It is the Dharma which Amitabha Buddha taught. How can you not say Namo Amitabha Dharma? This is also the Sangha which Amitabha Buddha taught and transformed. So how can you not say Namo Amitabha Sangha? Don't be so unimaginative. My explanation is a new explanation for an old meaning, just like my explanation of Nirvana. Nir means not produced, and vana means not destroyed. What is not produced? Sexual desire. What is not destroyed? Wisdom. In the realm of Nirvana, the Buddha has no sexual desire. He is clear, pure, and undefiled. He is without improper thoughts of desire. His self-nature constantly gives rise to wisdom, which is never destroyed. Shariputra, Shakyamuni Buddha calls out again. He is especially fond of his great disciple and thinks to himself, Shariputra has a little wisdom, but he doesn't know what to ask. I will have to tell him. Sutra, Shariputra, what do you think? Why is this Buddha called Amitabha? Shariputra, the brilliance of that Buddha's light is measureless, illumining the lands of the 10 directions, everywhere without obstruction. For this reason, he is called Amitabha. Commentary. Shariputra should have asked this question himself, but just like you, he had gone off to samadhi. Whenever I ask you a question, you just stare at me blankly. Why is this Buddha called Amitabha? Amitabha means limitless light. This Buddha's light is immeasurable, so that not a single land in the 10 directions is screened off from it. For this reason, he is called Amitabha. Sutra. Moreover, Shariputra, the life of that Buddha and that of his people extends for measureless, limitless, asamkhya kalpas. For this reason, he is called Amitayas. And Shariputra, since Amitabha realized Buddhahood, 10 kalpas have passed. Commentary. Asamkhya. A Sanskrit word means limitless number. Amitayas means limitless life. It has been 10 great kalpas, or eons, since he became a Buddha, and how many great kalpas he will live in the future is uncertain, but they will be boundless and measureless, asamkhya kalpas. Sutra. Moreover, Shariputra, that Buddha has measureless, limitless, sound-hearer disciples, all arhats, their numbers incalculable. Thus also is the assembly of bodhisattvas. Shariputra, the realization of the land of ultimate bliss, is thus meritoriously adorned. Commentary. In Amitabha Buddha's land of ultimate bliss, there are many Shravaka, sound-hearer disciples, who have certified to the attainment of non-outflows and are all arhats without desire. You can't count them. The assembly of bodhisattvas is just as big. Sutra. Moreover, Shariputra, those living beings born in the land of ultimate bliss are all avivartika. Among them are many who in this very life will dwell in Buddhahood. Their number is extremely many. It is incalculable, and only in measureless, limitless asamkhya kalpas could it be spoken. Commentary. Avivartika is Sanskrit. It means not retreating or turning away. These beings who are avivartika do not retreat in position, conduct, or thought. Not retreating in position means that they do not retreat to the lesser vehicle. Those of the lesser vehicle who are avivartika do not retreat to the position of common men. Not retreating in thought means that every day their thoughts to cultivate increase. Not retreating in conduct means that day by day they work harder and never say, "I have cultivated for quite a while. It is time to take a rest." Taking a rest is simply retreating and turning away from anuttara samyaksambodhi, the utmost right and perfect enlightenment. Those who are avivartika do not retreat in their quest for bodhi. There are many living beings in the land of ultimate bliss who in this very life can step into the position of Buddhahood. Born in a lotus flower, in one life they can realize Buddhahood. How many such beings are there? You could never count them all. They can't be calculated or even estimated. All you can say is that in limitless, measureless asamkhya kalpas, you could not name them all. Sutra. Shariputra. Those living beings who here should vow, I wish to be born in that country. And why? Those who thus attain are all superior and good people, all gathered together in one place. Shariputra, one cannot have few good roots, blessings, virtues, and causal connections to attain birth in that land. Commentary. Shakyamuni Buddha said, all those living beings who hear the doctrine I teach should vow to be born in the land of ultimate bliss. Why? Because the Shravakas and Bodhisattvas born there are all superior and good people. Although you may express the desire to be born in the land of ultimate bliss, unless you have good roots, blessings, and virtuous conduct, you won't be able to be reborn there. You must have cultivated all the paramita doors for many lifetimes, and in this way obtain great good roots, great blessings, and great virtue in order to have the opportunity to meet this wonderful Dharma. Sutra. Shariputra. If there is a good man or a good woman who hears spoken Amitabha and holds the name, whether for 1 day, 2 days, 3, 4, 5 days, 6 days, as long as 7 days, with one heart unconfused, when this person approaches the end of life, before him will appear Amitabha and all the assembly of the holy ones. When the end comes, his heart is without inversion. In Amitabha's land of ultimate bliss, he will attain rebirth. Shariputra, because I see this benefit, I speak these words. If living beings hear this spoken, they should make the vow, I will be born in that land. Commentary. Shariputra, said the Buddha, if a good man or woman, that is, one who holds the 5 precepts and cultivates the 10 good deeds, hears the name Amitabha Buddha, that person should hold to the recitation of Amitabha Buddha's name, just like holding something tightly in the hand. Recite the name Namo Amitabha Buddha, Namo Amitabha Buddha, Namo Amitabha Buddha. Whether for 1 day. In Chinese, the word whether looks like this. If you move the stroke in the middle, it changes into the word suffering, which looks like this. So you could say suffering for 1 day, 2 days, 3, 4, 5 days, 6 days. If you recite the Buddha's name from 4 o'clock in the morning until 10 at night for 7 days, you can reach the level of one heart unconfused. When your life is about to end, Amitabha Buddha thinks, that living being suffered for 7 days reciting my name, and so now I will guide him to the land of ultimate bliss. The time has come. Then Amitabha, with Avalokitesvara Bodhisattva, Mahastamaprapta Bodhisattva, and the entire clear, pure, ocean-wide assembly of Bodhisattvas appear before you and lead you to the land of ultimate bliss. If you think you can escape, you can't. You are surrounded. At this time, your heart is without inversion. You won't say, I don't want to go. It's too boring there. it would never occur to you to refuse Amitabha's invitation, and so you are born at once in the Western Land. Shariputra, the Buddha continues, I see the advantages, and so I am explaining them to you. If other living beings in the Sāha world hear these doctrines, they should make the vow to be born in that land. Previously, the text said, those living beings who hear should vow, I wish to be born in that country. This passage says, I will be born in that land. That is, I vow that I shall certainly be born in the land of ultimate bliss. Sutra, Shariputra, as I now praise the inconceivable benefit from the merit and virtue of Amitabha, thus in the East are also Akshopya Buddha, Sumeru Appearance Buddha, Great Sumeru Buddha, Sumeru Light Buddha, Wonderful Sound Buddha. All Buddhas such as these, numberless as Ganges sands, in his own country each brings forth the appearance of a vast and long tongue, everywhere covering the 3,000 great thousand worlds, and speaks the sincere and actual words. All you living beings should believe, praise, and hold in reverence the inconceivable merit and virtue of this sutra of the Mindful One, of whom all Buddhas are protective. Commentary. Not only do I praise the subtle, wonderful, inconceivable merit and virtue of Amitabha Buddha's beneficial deeds, said Shakyamuni Buddha, but so does Akshopya Buddha in the East. Akshopya Buddha of the Vajra division in the East is the Buddha who eradicates disasters and lengthens life. His name means unmoving and eternally dwelling Dharma body. His Dharma body does not move, and it eternally dwells. Sumeru Appearance Buddha. Sumeru means wonderfully high. This Buddha's marks are as lofty as Mount Sumeru. Great Sumeru Buddha. That is, Great Wonderfully High Buddha. Sumeru Light Buddha. Wonderfully High Light Buddha. All Buddhas such as these. The names of a few of the Eastern Buddhas have been mentioned. If one were to speak of them in detail, they would be as numberless as Ganges sands. In his own country, each brings forth the appearance of a vast and long tongue, everywhere covering the 3,000 great thousand worlds. How can one speak with a tongue like that? This represents the Buddha Dharma circulating to all places, and the Buddha's sincere and actual words. All of you should believe, praise, and hold in reverence the inconceivable merit and virtue of this sutra of the Mindful One, of whom all Buddhas are protective. The Buddhas are mindful and protective of this sutra, just as they are mindful and protective of the wonderful Dharma Lotus Blossom Sutra. If you read or recite the Amitabha Sutra, the Buddhas of the Ten Directions will happily come to your aid, and in the future, when your life is over, they will witness your rebirth in the land of ultimate bliss. Sutra, Shariputra, in the southern world are Sun Moon Lamp Buddha, Well-Known Light Buddha, Great Blazing Shoulders Buddha, Sumeru Lamp Buddha, Measureless Vigor Buddha. All Buddhas such as these, numberless as Ganges sands. In his own country, each brings forth the appearance of a vast and long tongue, everywhere covering the 3,000 great thousand worlds, and speaks the sincere and actual words. All you living beings should believe, praise, and hold in reverence the inconceivable merit and virtue of this Sutra of the Mindful One, of whom all Buddhas are protective. Commentary. After speaking of the Buddhas in the East who praise Amitabha Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha spoke of the Buddhas in the South. Shariputra, he said, in the South as well there are many, many Buddhas who extend their vast and long tongues to speak about the Dharma. Who are they? They are Sun Moon Lamp Buddha, Well-Known Light Buddha, Great Blazing Shoulders Buddha, who emits light from his shoulders, Sumeru Lamp Buddha, that is Wonderfully High Lamp Buddha, and Measureless Vigor Buddha, who is energetic in the six periods of the day and night, as well as other Buddhas in numbers as grains of sand in the Ganges River. They all extend their vast and long tongues to cover the 3,000 great thousand worlds and speak the truth, speak what is, and do not speak falsely. All living beings, they say, in all lands and all countries and in all the limitless worlds should believe, praise, and hold in reverence the inconceivable merit and virtue of this sutra. You must bring forth hearts of real faith, real vows, and real practice. Praise the inconceivable merit and virtue of this sutra, which Shakyamuni Buddha spoke without request. If you believe, accept, praise, and recite it, all the Buddhas will protect you. Resolve to revere Amitabha Buddha and the Amitabha Sutra.